This morning, as we reflect on our lessons from Isaiah and Luke, I would invite you to hold two images, two ideas in mind. The first involves the beginning of time, at least as it is recalled and recounted in Scripture. Think back to the beginning of the universe. The cosmos has just been created. The galaxies and the nebulae, the dark matter, the black holes, the stars, the sun, the moon, this earth, the great seas, the sky, the trees, the vegetation, the grasslands, the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky. And walking in a garden, a man and a woman. After all of this has been fashioned, after all of this has been made, God chose to rest, to look upon God's handiwork. God took a pause. Now also, imagine a proud people with a long history. A people who could tell stories of great heroes and heroines. A people who had forged a culture. A nation that saw itself as special, as charged to do great work by God. A nation that was called to never forget from whence it came. A free people, commanded by its God to remember they were descended from slaves. A people at liberty, called to remember there was a time when their forebears had no choice. These are the two ideas, the concepts, that God's people are called to remember and to cherish when they celebrate the Sabbath. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, the Decalogue, as they appear in Exodus 20, you will see the call to remember creation and God's decision to rest after he had finished his labors. And if you turn to the Ten Commandments as they are recounted in Deuteronomy 5, there you will see the injunction to remember that Israel, though free, had once been enslaved. A people who had the opportunity to take a rest and reflect had once been a people who did not have that option. Scripture calls us to remember these things each Sabbath day. These concepts, these ideas are beautiful. And they're powerful and they're potent and they are wonderful and they speak to the Sabbath as something that we should cherish as a gift, as something that is wondrous. The Sabbath is not merely a date on the calendar, and it's not merely the opportunity to observe certain rules and regulations, to abstain from doing some things and to engage in other activities, but it is a time for the people of God to walk more closely with God. The observance of the Sabbath began to take on a special importance in the life of the Jewish people in the wake of the destruction of the temple by the Babylonians. A symbol of identity, a focus of worship had been lost, and as the people went into exile, New rhythms, new tools were needed to help people continue to walk with God. And so the community began to focus on the Sabbath. The Sabbath which required no building, the Sabbath which was portable, the Sabbath which could be observed by anybody anywhere. And it was this beautiful, powerful, wonderful idea that motivated the school of prophets who followed Isaiah, whose words are recorded in chapter 58 that we heard earlier this morning. When the people returned from exile, there were squabbles and arguments about how things should be done, what was the right approach. And some people found comfort in living in the rules and complaining about what other people did. But we see in Isaiah a different vision of what the Sabbath can be. It is something that enlivens us and enriches us, and it makes something amazing possible for a community. These are words that Jesus knew. The words of Isaiah were Jesus' scripture. And we know that these are teachings that he loved and took to heart. We know that on the Sabbath, Jesus would go to the synagogue and he would pray and he would listen to people expound on scripture and he would teach himself. All of this creates the context for Jesus' encounter with the ailing woman and the leader of the synagogue. There, Jesus saw someone in pain, someone suffering, and he had an opportunity to lift that burden from her, to free her. He recognized in her the beauty of God's creation, and he sought to help that part of God's creation be its fullest self. But his actions provoked a response, a critique. You can't do that on the Sabbath. Jesus has none of that. Resorting to the rule book, insisting that the T's be crossed and the I's dotted. Jesus' response is, give it a rest. And that is a message that echoes down to us to this day. Because it is so easy for church people to talk about how things should be done on the Sabbath. We can think back to the good old days when everybody went to church on Sunday, when there weren't any sporting events. You couldn't go shopping because there were blue laws. Give it a rest. We are called instead to embrace the Sabbath, to reflect on the glory of God's creation and what he has done for his people. The Sabbath isn't simply a day when we can kick back, take a nap, mow the lawn, watch some football, check our email, write the bills, as important and as valuable as those activities are. The Sabbath is instead a weekly opportunity for us to reconnect with God, to reorient ourselves to what God intends for his people. The Sabbath is an amazing gift. And it is so easy for us to lose sight of that. We can take it for granted. There are members of our congregation who are unable to be here with us this morning because they have to go to work. We can reflect on a society that is structuring itself in such a way that people aren't given the opportunity to restore and renew themselves. And we can work on issues like that, but we should also look at ourselves. And we should pray for the strength and the grace to make the most we can of the gift of the Sabbath. When we become a Sabbath people, when we work together as a Sabbath community, amazing, wonderful things can happen. So, if we do find ourselves at times succumbing to the temptation to be critical or to complain about the way things are going on in the world, let's give it a rest. And instead, let's give real Sabbath a try.